Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
One of the hymns that we sang this morning was talking about the harvest, and it is neat to see how harvest happens, and it's also neat to see our farmers here on Sunday worshiping. And Curtis, I saw you there in the back, big old barrel chest, man, it's hard to miss. But see Dan sitting there, and Wrights and Morris. I just see, man, what a time. And yet, in the middle of the harvest hustle, Jesus' priority to come here and worship. And that just can't help but think, as like the father heart of God watching his kids, he's like, "Ooh, I like that. That's the kind of behavior I show myself strong on your behalf." It's good. Let's pray. Jesus, you've heard the thoughts and the concerns here of our family, and we just lift those to you. God, we pray that you would shine your face upon us with Sarah and bringing healing to her body and restoring health and life to others that have walked through some health situations, and being with Dale in the middle of loss and hardship, and with our farmers, God, we pray for an amazing harvest. God, that you would shine down upon them, injury-free. Let them enjoy these beautiful sunsets. And God, we pray that you would strengthen their families as they're all in it together serving. We just thank you for this time and season. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, my daughter reminded me, I didn't say this yet. Good morning, church. There it is. Also, love seeing Joyce in the house. Joyce is a hipster, brand new hip, and says it's one of the easiest things she's ever done. And she was serious because of surgery today. Gets her right back up walking. It's great. It's great to have you. This morning I want to talk to us about it's theological as well as very practical, this thought that we get that Jesus, that God as a father, adopts us into his family, and for us to be like God, a piece of like God, what does it look like for men and women of God to take on the same spirit of adoption practically for children that would potentially come into our area of influence. Check out this scripture here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. It says this, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." Adoption really is the heart of the gospel. It's the heart. It's taking people that are outside of the family and bringing them into the family and giving them a new name and giving them full access to the family blessing, putting them in line for inheritance, bringing them into a home where there's going to be new behaviors, where there's new expectations, where now you have access to unbelievable resources that perhaps you didn't have access to before. All of a sudden, you come in from perhaps being disconnected from God to where you are a son or a daughter of the King, where you go from having the punishment and the wrath of God on you to all of that being placed upon the Son, Jesus, and all you get is the grace and the righteousness of Christ now put on your behalf. In the same way, in a natural adoption, you're brought into a family that was not yours before, but now is yours, and you get a new name. And now there's new behaviors to live into this family, and there's lots of practicalities. You now have an inheritance, an access to an inheritance like you've never had before, and you have all of the resources that you didn't have access to before. And there are these dueling realities that can happen spiritually and naturally. Not only is it a heavy message that God leads through the Gospels with adoption, but we actually see practical adoptions that happen back into the Old Testament. Check this out. In the Old Testament, there's three different adoptions that we see. Moses, Esther, one name we're going to have to work through here, Jenoboth. These are three different ones that God has highlighted in Scripture to let us know about this idea of adoption. But the spiritual adoption, he lays it out really through Romans and Galatians in the New Testament. Author John Piper, he writes about adoption, calling it the heart of the gospel. He writes this: "The deepest and strongest foundation of adoption is located not in the act of humans adopting humans, but in God adopting humans." Check out this scripture. This is Galatians chapter 4. It says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." God did not have to use the concept of adoption to explain what salvation was. He didn't have to use this term of adoption. He easily could have talked about us having new birth. Hey, you're born again, and why not just us being born into the family of God? He wanted to be very clear that you were born into a separate reality that was disconnected from him. You were born into sin. I was born into sin. Ephesians 2 says that I'm aliens to the covenant. I'm disconnected from God. I'm the object of God's wrath. I'm without hope and without God. We're in a pretty dangerous spot here, not having the covering of a father. And he says, so now you've been adopted in. You were not in the family, but now you've been chosen by God. He initiated relationship with you. He set his affection upon you first. He awakened something in your heart to respond back to the family of God by saying, yes, God. And he kissed your heart to cause it to come alive. And you were brought in to this family. It's the power of adoption. He chooses to speak about this essential foundation of salvation. And one of these beautiful words is adoption. Here's similarities between the spiritual and natural adoption that we see. And whether you have ever adopted, you've thought about it, you've entertained this idea of maybe bringing in children that haven't previously belonged to your family, as you think through these comparisons and these similarities, perhaps you can see that this is the character of God. And perhaps see that maybe God would even put this upon your heart to mobilize you, church family, for adoption. He's done it himself. He knows what it costs. He knows what it means to lay his life down to help bring somebody else into the family. So here we go. Here's some similarities. Adoption was for God, and it is also for us a costly move. Adoption is costly. Check out Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 4 again. "When the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem." This word redeem means to obtain by a fee that has been set. To redeem is to pay the cost or to make an exchange of a cost in order to get something that you want. So maybe you have a coupon, and if you want to redeem that coupon, here's what this means. It has very little value in and of itself, but what I'm going after has a ton of value, and significantly, if I will trade and make this exchange to you, I ultimately get what I want. I want to redeem. There's a cost, there's a price, and that's been set that I'm going to make this great exchange. So he's going to redeem something that he wants back. There's a paying of the price. Well, what is the price? Galatians chapter 3, right before he gets into Galatians chapter 4, Galatians chapter 3 actually tells us what this price was. It says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. It's the cost that God had with the price of his son's life. And laying down his son's life, he buys back me and you. I don't know if you've ever wanted to feel pretty awesome, but adoption ought to make you feel pretty awesome. There was a big time cost in order to bring you into the family. The cost was Christ himself to lay his life down in the same way as Christ has laid his life down. Here's some comparisons of natural adoption. There's huge costs. Some are financial. Some are emotional. There's something very beautiful about sacrifice. To say, I want you so bad. I want you so bad that I'm willing to pay the cost to redeem and to bring in something that has value. I want that into my family. A guy and a family that I've known for many years has done this. John and Charlene Plotner. John grew up just around the corner in Amboy, but him and I pastored together in Crown Point. Here's a picture of John about 18 years ago. John adopted two daughters from China. They go on a mission trip, their heart gets wrecked, and they go to this orphanage, and they see these orphans there that have no one to love them, where their families have given them up, where mom and dad have no activity in their life, and they're either just left on the street, or they're left by the state, or for somebody to take care of. But in this previous picture, those are his two daughters, Selah and Samara. In this previous picture, here they are as baby. They get them as babies. And I remember going out to eat with Pastor John. And we're sitting there, and all Selah did was cry and cry and cry and cry. And cry, and cry, and cry. And I'm looking over like, oh my gosh, like what is going on? When they were in this orphanage, they had all of their fingers taped down so that they wouldn't get into things when they were running around in this orphanage and knock things over and grab stuff that they didn't want them to grab and grab markers and write on the walls and get involved in all sorts of stuff, get into drawers that they shouldn't get into. Their fingers were all taped down, and they would hold their arms down. They would leave them in the cradle for forever, and they would try to crawl and to get up, but they couldn't even crawl, and their motor skills were all underdeveloped. And Pastor John goes, that's the one. I love it. I want it. Okay, well, here's the price that you've got to go through, rich Americans. Come on over here, and we'll negotiate a price. And the price that they negotiate goes up, and it goes up, and it goes up, and it goes up. And at $25,000, he buys Selah and brings her to America and loves her up and raises her like his own, gives her the Plotner name and lavishes upon her, trains her, gets her hands freed and going, causes her heart to come alive. He says, you know what? I want to do it again. Goes over to China, does it again, buys Samara for $25,000. He's 50 large in just in buying them, let alone raising them. And now he's got both of them, going to train them and cause beauty to come alive inside of them and do unbelievable things. And so now, as they're grown, here's this next picture of their family, and they're shining. And they're full of joy and hope and life and a storyline that was leading them potentially to prostitution or to hustling their own worth or value on the street or being raised by the state or whatever it would have looked like. They were brought into a family and taught about Jesus and taught about the beauty of redemption through adoption. And now here's Selah leading worship at the church, her fingers flowing and leading others into the presence of Jesus. Redemption. She's been redeemed. There's a cost and there's a value, and he put big time cost and value that he was willing to sacrifice. The beauty is the sacrificial love and bringing them in and causing full value to come forth. Another one of my really good buddies, Aaron and Ashley Vogel, they have been involved in fostering for years. They fostered no less than 10 children that they've had come through their family and come through their home. But the recent and the biggest celebration is Nelly. And here's a picture of their family. I'll let you guess which ones they're fostering and adopting just by the looks of things. But Nelly's the little girl there down front. Fostering is rough on the heart because they're in and they're out, and many times to love is to lose, even if it's just a dog or an animal, right? Because you lose and it's hard. And so they had Nelly. Nelly's story is she was abused by mom's boyfriend when he took a baseball bat and cracked her legs as a baby. Aaron and Ashley get Nelly, and they start raising her and loving her. And yes, there's financial cost, but the bigger cost was the emotional cost of walking through with this girl and the different cultures and the tensions that all of that stuff provides, and the race tensions. And they live in New Orleans, which is a melting pot of all different kinds of cultures in and of itself, and bringing them in and saying, you are a Vogel, and you have the backing of your parents, and you have access to everything that we own, it now all is yours. And you're going to be raised under a different way of thinking. There's a new mindset now. There's going to be new behaviors, and we're going to point you in a bigger, much awesome, higher direction. And you have an inheritance for the rest of your life with our family. Did you all know that legal adopted kids have as much, if not more, access as birthright children? Full inheritance. That other kids, they can divorce the family if they want. Adopted children have access to the family forever. Like, it's powerful, binding stuff. And so now here's Nelly. And the tension points, here they are on the gotcha day. And Nelly is now in the family. And the beauty is working through and unpackaging all of this abuse. And here's what happens whenever we come into the family of God. We've got some dinged up stories. We've got some pain sitting deep into our hearts. But he's paid the price, and he's brought us in, and now he just wants to kind of get us healed and whole and full and delivered and free, so that we can now act like him and turn around and go and do this for others in the same way. I don't know if God would maybe put fostering and adoption upon your heart, but it's a very similar move that God has done toward us. Isn't it powerful what he has done? I know we've got other families in here, and I think of the Sovereign family. Tracy, what's it? Tracy's just waving. Tracy, do you love your family or what, man? Golly, dude, how powerful. Tracy hands me this shirt this morning. Check this out. It says, wanted, chosen, loved, adopted, October 19th, 2022. On Wednesday, Scott and Emily Sovereign are officially adopting Julian to be their son. Is that amazing? Come on, man, they're doing it. It's awesome. I'm going to wear this shirt loud and proud to the courtroom and celebrate with their family on what God is doing. And they've done it time and time and time again. Church, perhaps adoption isn't on your heart for you to physically do, but I would encourage you to partner with these families financially and say, what is it that I can do to help support the move? What is it that you need emotionally? What is it that you need recreationally? You're taking on more kids into your home. Is there a bike? Is there a trampoline? Is there something else that you need? Are there beds? Is there anything else that I can do to come alongside the character of God, to bring in children outside of the family, to lavish upon them saying, welcome home. Welcome into a new family of God. We have other families here in the church, and Christian and Carrie, and what they've done with Selah being Carrie's biological daughter, and them getting married, and Christian coming in saying, I want to be this father that loved and chosen, adopted move. And it was about a month ago, if you remember, they're up here on the stage, and Christian says, you have the Pollock name. You're in, and you have full access to whoever we are. I want to lavish it upon you. And you have the same access and the same rights and privileges as Daniel would have as a biological son. You're now my chosen daughter. How powerful. Pastor John and Charlene would tell this to their children. You weren't born in my stomach. You were born in my heart. And I chose you from the movements of my heart. You can feel it. I've talked with Christian this week, and he goes, it was a move of choosing. And he goes, and not only because Selah wasn't a baby, it wasn't only me choosing her, it was her having full confidence and choosing me back, saying, I want you, Dad. I want to be in this family. There's this mutual exchange now that's taking place in love and affection and communication of daughter to father. There's now language that shifts, that wraps around it. Are y'all with me? Like in the scripture that we said, we now cry out, Abba, Father, which is one of the most intimate names we ever could call Father God, is Abba. It's intimacy. It means daddy. You're my daddy. And now we can use language like that rather than a disconnected king, or he's the judge of sinners, or I'm opposed to him and he's opposed to me. I now snuggle up into my daddy, my Abba. We have another family, and Heath and Pam, who usually sit right here, who are fostering and bringing in children into their home and loving and pointing to Jesus and saying, now you're in a new home. And they want to move toward adoption so bad, and they're doing these right moves. And church family, let's identify and say, man, what is it that we can do to help and to esteem? Man, you're doing some big time God moves. And that stuff ought to be applauded and celebrated. Redeeming lives, literally, not just in a spiritual sense, like I'll teach a class and point them to Jesus. No, I will buy them a pair of jeans. I will put shoes on their feet and bread on their table, and I'll put a pillow under their head, and I'll put an education before them, and I'll put an inheritance. I'm going to think through financially that I will lay down sacrifices, put together investments and savings, and plan for an inheritance for this family that forever will be our family. These are God sort of moves. The Bible says it this way, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. You're thinking generationally now. Not just consuming upon myself, but I'm going to sacrifice myself. I'll lay down my life. I'll take up my cross, and I'll follow after Jesus and do whatever it is that he does. And he does adoption really well. He does it, man. Think of Jake and Megan Stroop and what they have done with a young lady who was in high school, and how they brought her into their home and loved her, provided for her, challenged her, encouraged her, pointed her in new directions, trying to shift the health and direction of her life. Families that are willing to do this. In my own family, I think of my own sister and my brother-in-law, Rex, and Brittany, and what they have done. One of the things that they have done is it's helped shift language as it comes to sonship. Check out this scripture in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Or another one, you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we call out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are now children of God. God does not leave us in an alien state. He does not leave us in a disconnected sinner state. He brings us fully in through adoption. And through that, he pours out his spirit now upon us, is what he says. We get to experience what heaven is like with the fullness of the Spirit of God. When you come into a new family, you get to experience what heaven is like in this family. You get to experience a dad that loves you with a mama that's going to sacrifice and lay down for you. This word, Abba, Father, is the same word that Jesus uses in the Garden of Gethsemane when he's praying and he says, Abba, if you can, take this cup from me. Right before he goes to sacrifice and to lay down his life so that we could be adopted in, he cries out. And the disciples are listening, they're leaning in, and they hear this word, Abba, and they're like, what a weird word. Like, you're about to go to the cross and you're calling him daddy, like you're snuggling up to him. He goes, Daddy, here we go. This is the moment. He's leaning in. He knows what's, and he calls him this daddy, father. We're about to make a move of adopting back. What is not ours will become ours. They'll be in our family. Not a one of them is missing, the ones that you have given to me. What a statement that Jesus makes as he's crying out to the Lord. Here's a picture of my family, Rex and Brittany, and here's their kids. Brittany has had four daughters. And she would get pregnant and have a daughter, and get pregnant and have a daughter. And they wanted a son. They got pregnant, and guess what? She had a third daughter. And she got pregnant again, and guess what happened? She had a fourth daughter. And man, we just want a boy. We just want to have a son. And then she had three or four more pregnancies that there were stillborns, and they, you know, didn't go to full term. And she, all of those, that there was long enough to find out the gender of the baby, all of those were girls. Like, man, we're just destined to not have a son. So they got connected with a family that had two boys, that mom was very disconnected. Mom had all different kinds of abuse issues. When I say abuse, I'm talking like substance abuse and drug and alcohol abuse. And we had these two boys that would just leave them in their cribs. And so bad that they had cradle head, and they had to wear corrective helmets to reshape their skulls. Brittany would get to know this family and invite the boys to come over and realize that they'd been in the same diaper and the same pants for days. Brittany would clean them up and put new diapers on them, and then she would mark initials and the dates inside the diaper that no one would know, would get them back days later. Same diaper, same pants are on them. Total neglect. If neglect can be abuse, it's what was happening in this abusive neglect that was taking place of these boys. Moves into guardianship. And through guardianship, moves into adoption. And adopts, as they're going into the courtroom and in the season of this, going into adopt, they find out that they get pregnant. And she's going to have a boy this time. And they go from four to seven overnight. And now they've got three boys that joined the family. And here's a picture now as they're growing up and they're graduating. Here's this next one. And they're moving on. And some of them are in college. And life just continues to move. And now you're buying cars for them. And Christian, that's the next expense, baby. Here we go. Sayla, you're going to be driving soon, girl. And we're going to be paying for school. And there's more and more expense. It wasn't just a one-time thing that Jesus did to lay his life down daily. Man, he is in it with you. And he is engaged in your storyline. He continues to lay down his life for you in the same way that adoptive parents continue in on this. And the mercy of God. God works to awaken affections in adopted children towards their parents in the same way that families turn their hearts, in the same way that God has turned his heart towards you. Last similarity here. Adoption was for God and it is for us. It's marked by this moral transformation that takes place inside of us. We used to be sinners walking away from God. And there's been a shift. There's a transformation of the human heart to where we're now pursuing God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. God does not leave his children without help to bear this moral image of the family. And so we trust that we're leaning in to God to help give us grace to continue to walk through this. With any children, there's grace, and you're going to learn, but man, we are going to learn, and there is a new way. And this is the way our family is going. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Welcome to the family. Let's go worship. There's going to be some behaviors that are going to be shifted, and you're going to want to become more like Jesus and hopefully become more like mom and dad as they pursue Jesus. Here's another one in my family, Doug and Holly Harold. Here's Doug and Holly. Doug and Holly, who were unable to have children, go all in on the spirit of adoption. And as they have adopted to create their family, they are a picture of the nations, as they've got them from all over the world. And Doug and Holly, we are financial partners to help them. We as a church support them as they are missionaries in Guatemala, but they're right here from Fairmount, Indiana. Both of them graduates of Madison Grant. And Maya, the one clear to the right of the picture, my gosh, this girl is a darling. Take a look at this next picture. She is just shining. And as she has been redeemed, she's been pulling out of the muck and the mess of where she was. She's now in this beautiful family that love her, that have repurposed this girl. Maya wants to be like mama so bad. And as she comes alongside Holly, man, she serves. She understands what it means to lay her life down in service to others around her. She wants to become more like Jesus. There are transformational behaviors now because she's been included into a different family. I don't do that old stuff anymore because I'm now bought into a new family. Church family, I want to tell you, it is the move, not only of God, but of this house, of fostering and adoption and moves like this. And what is it that your role is? Is it encouraging letters? Is it on a letter that's only about like this size that has a dollar amount that you can sign? Is it some financial encouragement? Or would God even say, I'm not just pointing my fingers at other people, I might be pointing my finger at you to be making some of these moves into your family. I don't know. I'm not the prophet. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just introducing the idea, what if? And could we, as your family, as my individual family, wrestle through these, would God want me to make a move like this? And if I do, do I have a church family that's got my back, that celebrates this stuff and helps support this stuff? Church family, I want you to think about that. And what is your role in helping redeem some amazing kids and repurposing them for a purpose of Christ? Amen. We're going to close here this morning as we pray. And as we pray, we'll just have some music playing, and you're free to get up and go. But I do want you to make an intention to find these families in our church that are doing the stuff like this and come and encourage them. Right on? Let's pray, church family. God, I thank you that we can cry out, Abba. We cry out, Daddy. We're in a family. And no longer do we have to live afraid of you and in fear of the wrath and the penalty. But I get to run in and celebrate the inheritance and the grace and the goodness of a new dad. You're my dad. And thank you for choosing me. And thank you for bringing me into your family. And thank you for paying a price. And thank you for redeeming at the highest cost. Thank you. And Lord, I pray that you would strengthen families that are adopting, that are fostering, that are partnering, that are financially engaged, that are emotionally invested. God, strengthen these that are operating in this character of you. and encourage your church family today. We love you for this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.